No Syntax is brought to you by Caffeine Driven Media, where we mainline coffee as if our lives depended on it.
I want to discuss all this behavior.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of No Syntax. I am Landon Isles, your host. And today, before I get started, once again, I'm up in Caffeine Driven Media Studios, and the AC is on blowing like with a very intense force today. And with good reason. I think the heat index is well over 100, and my studio is actually right above my garage. So I could literally feel the heat from the garage kind of coming up through the carpet. It's really, really odd. It feels good to an extent, but as the day progresses and the sun is burning bright today, I think we've got clear skies for the most part, or maybe partly cloudy, I don't remember. Anyway, regardless, the AC might kick on during the course of this podcast. Once again, as I always say, and I always seem to do this, I will work on sound editing and making sure that the background noise doesn't interfere with this recording as best as possible, as usual. And if any other noises happen to come up, I think I have my phone on silent. My dog may go nuts. Any number of things that may happen or they may detract, I'll just, you know, I don't know why I get a little OCD when it comes to external sounds. So once again, let me just shut up and get on with the show. But before I get started, I have everything kind of, I'm looking at my show notes and I have everything in the order that I want. It's been a rough week. I meant to get this episode out earlier, but I haven't been able to simply because of work, and it's been really busy this week, and consequently, this is my last weekend here in the States. I have to fly back next week and get back to it, finish out my 4 months. Got to meet the new boss, talk to him for a little bit, and get to talk to him for a little while before I fly out. And then whenever he gets in, then we'll talk more, I guess. So I had that going on. And then, unfortunately, my second eldest, four-legged fur baby, if you will, Django, passed away this past Thursday. And it was very disheartening for the most part. I think I've talked about it before, but right now I had four dogs, three Jack Russells and one Staffordshire Pit. The three Russells, you know, I've had for quite a long time. Mo, his full name is Mo Buster Blues, really intelligent little dog, bit of a narc. He loved to tell on all the other dogs when they were doing something wrong. He had a very distinctive bark. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before, but Mo was one of a kind, and he was the good dog of the group. He was the one that was also the instigator, so when it was time to eat, he's the one that got everybody else riled up. But overall, if anybody did anything bad, and I say anybody because my dogs are pretty much, for the most part, act very human. But if they're doing anything out in the backyard that they shouldn't be doing, Mo had a very distinctive bark. And you knew something was up when Mo was barking in this certain tone. So I'd go rushing out there and find out that the others are like trying to dig under the fence, or they're going after another animal, or just general misbehaving altogether. And Mo had this little bounce in his step when he came towards you and goes, "Hey, see, I'm the good dog. I'm the good dog. I'm the good dog. See what they were doing? They were being bad. I'm being good. Got any food?" I swear, Russells live by food. I think all dogs live by food, but Russells, for the most part, are just very prone to feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. But Mo, he had passed away. I don't mean to chuckle, but I just got a thought in my head when I was saying feed me. Mo one day happened, I got a bag of dog food and I put it in their room. Yes, my dogs have their own room. And I picked up the bag and I put it on top of the bin inside their room. And one day I'm sitting there watching TV and I happen to look around and I see the other dogs and I notice Mo is nowhere to be found. And Mo usually stays in the same room that I'm in. He doesn't, unless it's bedtime, he doesn't go to the bedroom. So I figured, well, let me go check on him. Maybe he's just tired, not feeling well. So I went looking for him and I'm like, Mo, Mo. And he didn't answer. And I'm like, Mo, Mo. Still didn't answer. And I was like, okay. So as soon as I started to get up, I'm assuming he felt me starting to move towards where he was at, which was in the room. And he didn't want me to find him doing what he was doing. And I watched him and he walked out into the hallway and his stomach looked quite distended. And I looked at him. I'm like, what the hell happened to you? And he just started walking to the back door. And he got to the back door and I let him out and he went to the bathroom. And then he came back in, just waddling back down the hallway. And I followed him because I was wondering why he was going back down the hallway back into their room. Lo and behold, Mo chewed a hole in the bag. And that dog will eat until he explodes. So he went to the bathroom to make room so he can go back and eat more. Anyway, so that was my passing thought in reference to Mo. But Mo had passed December last year, a week after his 16th birthday, primarily of old age. He was just very, very, very tired. And I was not present. I was not here when he passed. So I was a little bit in shambles overall. I mean, Mo, he has been one of the premier dogs that I've ever owned. And there will never be any, and there will never be another dog like him, I'm sure. But Django, recently, I was home in April for a few days and he was doing fine, had no issues. During the course of the time that I was gone from April up until June, there was something going on with his eating patterns. He wasn't eating a lot or wasn't eating enough. And then he was eating and he was doing fine, but then he would throw up. And it turned out after testing, there was thickness, his stomach lining was becoming thicker, and therefore not affording him the ability to really hold in a lot in the way of food. And he was getting to the point where he knew he was hungry, but the moment that food went into his mouth, he would spit it out. It was as if he immediately lost his appetite. So overall, and I'm not bringing a downer on the show, just trying to explain, you know, an experience with my pets, cause they're near and dear to my heart, but it just got to the point to where he was just very weak, and he couldn't stand up anymore. I just couldn't stand to see him in pain, you know, which brings me to this, because I really wish it's a tough decision, you know, as a human being, it's a tough decision to put an animal to rest. I don't like to say put to sleep, put the dog down, put an animal down. I like to say put to rest. That's just my thing. Because they live a long life in the grand scheme of things, but it's still relatively short that when an animal is suffering, I want them to rest. So I look at them, I say putting them to rest. And Django is another individual. He was his own person, if you will. He was a rugged individualist. And when I got him, I was a little unsure because he was very wary of the surroundings. And all dogs are just trying to get a feel for the environment, because I had Mo, I had Chaos, and he wasn't sure like where he was at, what he was doing, why am I here? But you know, as the days progressed, as the months progressed, you know, he blended in well, but he was a protector. He was the type of dog that if any other dogs came around, he was very dog aggressive. But the one thing that I noticed is that if I brought another dog into the house, if my master, my owner, my Jim, my Landon brings another animal in, then that's okay. But if an animal comes in of its own volition, then you're invading my territory, and I don't stand for that. And he had no fear. I mean, he went after any dog of any size, hence the reason why I named him Django. He was very tough. He was very muscular dog, very smart, and very agile and quick. But in some cases, very stupid. He attacked a dog statue one time. That's how very aggressive he is towards other animals. So, but I love him and miss him dearly, and he's going to be greatly missed. Walking around the house right now, I have two fur babies. I have Chaos and I have Boba, and I'm really saddened by the emptiness. And I really right now don't have the heart to take down Django's kennel at this point. I don't know when that's going to be. I'll have no choice when I go to move, as I mentioned in the last episode, that I'm going to be moving from here after I get out of Kuwait in November. But and I may wait till then. I don't know. I haven't quite decided. But anyway, enough of that. I you know, as I said, it's like, so I just want to let you know, for all you animal lovers out there, whether you're a cat person, dog person, bird person, doesn't matter. You know, we all love our animals. We all take care of them. And we should do everything that we can to go and adopt, vice going to a pet store. I would say, you know, if you get the opportunity, look at your local ASPCA.org websites. And take a look at those animals that have been abandoned, I say abandoned, or you have some people that truly just can't take care of them very well, due to different circumstances. So I would highly encourage you that, you know, if you do, you adopt. I have another friend of mine, and I think this is what she does. So Kim, forgive me if I get this wrong, but, I know she takes care of dogs, and I believe she brings ailing dogs home, you know, to give them a more of a home place to rest, and continue on with the rest of their lives. Kim, again, if I got that wrong, I apologize, but I think that was a perception I was getting from some of the posts and some of the animals, that you were taking care of or were charged with your care, which I also think is great. I think it's great that people do that. You know, cause again, I look at dogs as people too, and any animal as people too. Anyway, I went off on a tangent there. I went off script for the most part, and I apologize, but it was just something that I wanted to talk about and get off my chest. So, but before I get into this, I want to give a couple of shout outs to some listeners of the show. First, I want to thank Babette, for leaving us an awesome review on both iTunes and on the No Syntax website. And so Babette writes, she feels the show is smart, funny, intelligent, and it's a lighthearted podcast, informative and well thought out. The coffee references by Death Wish are a great touch, kept me on the edge of my seat. Thank you, Babette. I really appreciate you taking the time to write the review, and shit, she gave us 5 stars. So that is pretty awesome. I have to say that, you know, I couldn't have done this podcast. I couldn't do this podcast and be that smart, funny, intelligent. If it weren't for the addictive properties of caffeine, I just really have to be honest for the most part. The second shout out, I would like to thank Leslie, for her reviews left on Instagram. And also she sent us an email. So Leslie writes, "Hi Landon, I was intrigued by your Instagram post and gave a listen. You're a good storyteller, and I always figured you had a sense of humor. I now know I don't need to visit to Kuwait, and I'll pass on the coffee enema. She's referencing the intro to episode 5. She said, so I'll pass on the coffee enema. Thank you very much. Congratulations on your 30 years and imminent retirement. I would have lost my mind if I had moved 5 times in 5 years. As time allows, I'll listen to earlier episodes. Leslie, Facebook, Instagram, servant of Philip the Ginger Cat." And I don't know if she intentionally had this in her email or not, but I'm going to read this anyway. All typos are courtesy of autocorrect. Leslie, I could not agree with you more if that was intentional. Ladies and people, if you don't know, and not insulting anybody's intelligence, but autocorrect is not your friend. By the way, Leslie, thank you for your email and your kind words. You are awesome. You are phenomenal. Overall, just great. Thank you so much. Going back to the autocorrect, this brought me on another topic. And again, I'm kind of straying from my show notes here, but have you ever noticed? I don't know if it's just me, but when smartphones hit the market, I want to say, well, the first iPhone, I think, was 2007. And I remember my previous phone being a Motorola flip phone. And I really enjoyed the flip phone. And texting on a flip phone, And some of you might be able to attest to this. I was able to text without looking at my phone. I mean, it was, you knew which numbers had which letters, how many times to press that number in order to get the letter that you want when you're texting a message. I never had to look at that phone. I could drive and keep the phone in my hand and then text. I might be off by a couple of letters here and there, but for the most part, we didn't have autocorrect that I recall on the flip phones. We didn't have that ability yet. But you can text and pretty much get your point across to the sender or to the receiver, you know, after you send and push go on the message. So along comes a smartphone and it's a glass screen and you're basically digitally typing in text messages. Now, as iPhones have progressed, as smartphones have progressed, you know, they have the autocorrect. There's that one little border where it shows you words where you could automatically select the words to fill in and essentially type quicker. And then there's also the swipe function, an application you can get for your keyboard where you kind of swipe in the general area and it will automatically build and populate the word into the text message, allowing you to text a lot faster. So, but what I'm finding lately is I don't know if it's me and I'm getting old or it's something to the level of sensitivity in the application itself. When I'm So I've got Jolt Cola in a mug. Why? I have no idea. Anyway. So I just noticed that sometimes I'm typing words and I'm hitting certain letters, but then I'm going back looking at what I typed and go, wait a minute. I know I typed an A. Why is there an I? I know I typed this letter, but why is there that letter? And it's quite frustrating, you know, and I'm sitting here going, I don't have fat fingers. You know, I don't have fat thumbs. I'm typing and I know I'm hitting that letter. I just don't understand what's going on. So I don't know if anybody else has that experience where you know you're typing, you know what you want to say, you know you're hitting that letter, but it's just not happening. So I don't know if it's something application sensitive or really it's just me getting old and my eye-hand coordination is just way off. It could be the latter. I don't know. But anyway, going back to Leslie's email, yes, I really don't feel that my retirement can come fast enough. Wow. Okay. So what I was just talking about didn't segue into the next segment at all. I apologize. I just realized that. I went, wow, that sounds so stupid. But yes, I don't feel that it could come fast enough. And it's both a scary and exciting time for me. And I'm sure as it gets closer, you know, I'll be at like stress factor 5 and really, really freaking out. I mean, you know, moving every year for the past 4 years has taken a toll, and the upcoming 5th, it probably more than likely will be no different. And but it's one step closer to hanging it up and starting a new chapter. You know, the one thing that also makes me feel uneasy is that once I hang up the uniform, I really have to start thinking about what I'm going to wear to work the next day. I mean, for the better part of my life, my choices have been green, some semblance of green, and then back to a green uniform, you know, and so I've never had to worry about what I was going to wear the next day. You know, it was always a uniform. After work, you know, I'm a t-shirt and jeans guy, t-shirt cargo shorts, you know, so relatively easy. Not very often do I dress up, you know, do I clean up and dress up? I just don't do that. It's not me. I've never been that way. And my fashion sense leaves a lot to be desired, to be honest, but I don't know. Who knows? You know, maybe when I retire, I'll become a telemarketer who works out of some seedy location and I could wear what I want. Or I'll start up my own 1-800 number where all I have to do is sit in my boxers, get fat, and get women off with fake foreign accents. Yeah, that's going to work. or maybe I'll run my own porn website because, you know, there are over 1 million perverts out there that can make me enough money on a single run before I pull the plug. No pun intended. and basically, you know, yeah, so I can pull the plug and leave them with their Little Richards in their hands, you know. That was one thing I joked about was, you know, I could go ahead, get a server up, and run a porn site, you know, charge a dollar, you know, for a, you know, for a membership or dollar access per movie or whatever. And there'll be enough perverts out there in the world. And I say million, and that's being, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm being very reserved in that. I'm sure there's a billion perverts out there or more. So I look at that as a, yeah, I would have to just do a single run, get enough money, and then just pull the plug and be done, you know, and then just kick back for the rest of my life. Of course, I'm sure there's, I'm pretty sure there's more that goes into that where I wouldn't make that much money that fast, but you know, it's the basic thought that counts, but I digress. You know, so speaking of inspiration and things that I'm looking or wanting to do, when I retire, all of you know, as if I haven't said it for the if I hadn't said it enough, I've been deployed for the past 6 months. And with that, you know, I'm home binge watching all the shows I have recorded on my DVR. And while I was sitting on the sofa in my man pants, a commercial aired. And it was a very peculiar commercial. Wow, I can say peculiar, but I can't say thousandth. Oh, there you go. Okay, now I did it. Whatever. Okay, so there was a very peculiar commercial on, and it made me realize just how out of touch I am with the goings-on in the world. I mean, I when I'm deployed, I don't watch TV. There's the Armed Forces Network that they have, and God bless them. I don't understand AFN. I really don't understand it. It's one thing that I've never gotten accustomed to. The way that they run their shows, the way that they run their schedule, where they get their broadcasting from. It's no different than I'm assuming like an ABC, NBC, CBS channel. But the way that they advertise their programs and what day it comes on, depending on what channel we're watching, I think comes from a different location, overseas, like say Germany has one, Italy might have, or I don't know if they have the same broadcast, but they cut things off. I mean, things don't play through. Commercials are also very different. They're very military oriented. And I've always said, you know, when you utilize military to make your own commercials, that's a bad thing because, you know, military members are just not good actors. We're just not. Or no. Nope. Sorry. But anyway, to the point, I don't watch a lot of TV forward. I usually just stream Netflix. Listen to other podcasts and those are the things that make my day. So I'm genuinely out of touch when there's things that are going on in the world, less watching CNN, Fox News, looking at all those other news channels, just trying to keep up with current events or whatever. But for the most part, I don't watch anything beyond that. But I mean, really, how is it, you know, so this commercial aired and I'm really just totally miffed because I don't understand how I missed such an opportunity to purchase water packs that will enrich my life and abolish my debt. I mean, holy shit. Again, no pun intended, but can you imagine? So there's this commercial, I think it's Peter Popoff Ministries, but there's this commercial where this guy is giving away these water packs, right? And these water packs are... I wish I got the audio on this so I could play it for you, but I would say if you do Miracle Water search on YouTube, you'll see what I'm talking about. But anyway, so there's these Miracle Water packs and you get them and I don't know exactly what you do with them, whether you sprinkle it on something or you drink it. I don't know. But anyway, this Miracle Water is supposed to clear you of your debt. It's anointed water for the most part. And it's supposed to get you money to help you clear your debt. And I'm like, how did I miss this? But I was thinking, holy crap, you know, can you imagine if I put this stuff in my coffee, not only would I be debt free, but technically I should be sharding massive amounts of money out of my ass. I mean, seriously, the notion that a man of this earth, for all intents and purposes, can anoint water that will make anybody who buys this miracle H2O debt free? Who the fuck falls for this shit? I'm sorry. I mean, you know, To be clear, I did say you can call and you can get your free package. Yes, I see free. I said free. The way I watched the commercial, I watched it over and over again. I didn't see any disclaimers, but it says free. You call this 800 number and then you get this packet shipped to you in the mail. And it just blows my mind. And don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not dismissing or disparaging religion, but there are some people out there that, you know, it's the whole false prophet thing. Okay. See, I came up from a Roman Catholic background and my dad was religious, not hardcore holy roller. My mom was the polar opposite. But they still made me go to catechism and go through that class just so I could take the body of Christ, you know, and make my first Holy Communion, which still to this day, I relatively don't have an understanding. And don't get me wrong. I believe in a higher power. I believe that we have energy within ourselves that in this shell of a body that we have on this earth, and that when we die, our energy is released and we join this giant ball of energy, wherever that is, right? And you might hear me typing here. My screensaver just kicked in. I apologize. Is it telling me I typed in the wrong password? 1 second. Da, 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 da. And what? Oh, you got to be kidding me, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on. Technical difficulties. And, oh, I don't believe this. How are you telling me that's not my pass? Oh, I know why. I know why. Dumbass. Sorry again. I had it on caps lock. I didn't realize I left my keyboard on caps lock. Anyway, I forgot where I was at, but okay. So, you know, we basically burst into this ball of energy, join this giant ball of energy, and we become one. And this energy, this mass, whatever it is, everybody has a name, right? I believe in a higher power. I just, you know, I do have that belief, so I don't quickly dismiss it. But it's these village idiots that I see on TV that exploit religion in the name of God. That I have a big beef with, you know, again, like I said, who the fuck falls for this shit? This is crap. I don't get it, but you have those people that do. And on this video, I mean, you had these people going, you know, I got $25,000. I got so many $1,000s here and I'm debt free and all this other stuff. And I'm like sitting here going, I can't help but wonder what's the freaking catch? I mean, I drink the water. Do I drink the water? What do I do with the water anyway? You know, but the concept of I get the water, drink the water, do whatever it is I need with the water. I get money. I provide a testimony of how I was able to abolish my debt to the depths of hell. Because remember, kids, credit cards are evil, along with QVC and the Home Shopping Network. Just saying. But, you know, but I get so excited about it. You know, I mentioned that I came into a substantial amount of financial wealth. And I can't help but wonder, is this where I get pigeonholed and asked to donate money to the church? You know, I'm really not sure how this comes full circle. You know, unless it's a ploy where the lucky ones of the earth fall into more money than they really need and then have to pay in order to receive more anointed water packs. Because face it, people are greedy. And as the song goes, more money, more problems, right? That's how, yeah. But anyway, I don't know how that goes. And maybe it's like, okay, the first, you call the 800 number and the first pack is free. And then you want more money. You want more packs. Well, then now you're going to have to donate. You're going to have to buy. And maybe that's the bait and switch, right? I'm going to hook you in and I'm going to send you this packet and it's going to be one of those things where whatever money you get, I just wonder if it's going to be like, it's going to be one of those things where just the power of suggestion, somebody gives you money and regardless of what that dollar amount is, whether it's, you know, like $50 or $1,000, oh my God, this water got me money. Wow, this is great. Let me go ahead and buy more. And it becomes an addicted thing, going back to people just being greedy because they want more money. And then they never take the money and do what they really intended to do with it, which was to get out of debt. Some people say that they do, but I don't know. I would say, you know, not everybody would, but I don't know. It, understandably, I shouldn't think in absolutes. But however, if I were this man and my water was truly such a freaking miracle, you know, I would be out on the street giving it to every struggling man, woman, and college student in effort to make their lives better. I say college student because I have a few soldiers that are college students that are trying to pay back student loans, and it is just phenomenal how much money they're having to pay. You know, just to make their lives better. I mean, if it really, really worked, it's kind of like, you know, the faith healers who go out there and, you know, they have that miracle touch, and all of a sudden these people are free of their disease or their ailments or whatnot. And people believe this. People are really, really into this shit, right? And I shouldn't call it shit. I mean, it's their belief. It's what they want, you know, to live and let learn. But, I don't know. I mean, some would also say that the lucky ones are the faithful who devote themselves to God. You know, while I don't disparage or dismiss anyone's beliefs, you know, why should the well-off get more than those who aren't? You know, I'm sure there are a number of have-nots who are just as, if not more devoted, than the must-haves. I mean, that's just a thought. Just a thought. I don't want to delve into this too much. Not to say that it's not a good conversation, but I think you really go in circles with this, and it's difficult. So just let me be clear that once again, I'm not disparaging anybody's beliefs. You could believe what you want. If you believe that, you know, calling an 800 number and getting miracle water and getting these packets are a great thing for you, and that's what makes you feel good, then yeah, go for it. You know, do what you want. You know, if you believe in faith healers where somebody could touch you, you know, and you feel like some sort of electromagnetic shock and, you know, you no longer have a headache, well, then great. Okay, fine. That's you. Everybody's got their beliefs, you know, and I don't disparage that. I certainly wouldn't push my beliefs on anybody. That's one thing that really drives me nuts is when people try to tell you about their religion in the context that your religion is wrong, that their religion is the one true religion. And I get it. You know, I understand it. Some people are very passionate about their religion. Some people are very, very devout Christians, devout Baptists, so on and so forth. But I've never been that way. I mean, I understood what my place was in life. I understood that there's a Bible. I understood there's God. I understood there's Jesus Christ. I understood Adam and Eve. I understood the whole story. But there were just a lot of questions. You know, there was always, well, the why. Well, if we're created in God's image, why do we have people that have deformities? Why do we have diseases? Why do we have this? Why do we have that? The why? And this is where it becomes a vicious cycle, or what I like to call a self-licking ice cream cone, because you cannot... I'm really going down a rabbit hole for this, and consequently, I like to say I'm going to hell for saying this, but you cannot argue with somebody who has a firm belief in their religion. It's pointless. And I'm not saying you should argue. I'm not saying you should go out to prove them wrong. But I remember a conversation some years ago specific to what I was just asking. Well, if we're created in God's image, you know, created man and woman in God's image and said, this is good, why do we have diseases? Why do we have ailments? Why do we have this? You know, and somebody made the comment of, well, because God tests you. He puts you in life situations and he tests you. And I'm like, well, if I'm already devoted to God, if I, you know, I know God exists and I'm devoted to God, why would he have to test me? Why would he have to test me in order to continue to keep my soul? You know, these were the questions I was asking. You know, and then there was the other polar opposite answer that I got in a similar conversation where, well, you know, it was because Satan, you know, coaxed Adam and Eve into taking a bite of the apple and they became self-aware type thing. And I'm like, why would you blame something else? Why would you deflect? You know, you were coerced, or maybe, you know, you were motivated into biting that apple, but to sit there and say, I don't know. I mean, it's not confusing to me. I get it, but, it's not my favorite topic. I just look at it as I kind of, you know, let people believe what they want to believe in. I mean, you know, got people out there that believe in aliens. You got people believe that there's an alien that they think is God, that God is an alien. you just have so many different beliefs, so many different religions. And how did this come across? How did this be, you know, how did this come about? And it's interesting. It is very interesting to me. And I always like listening to people. But again, you know, when you turn around and try to tell somebody that, you know, their religion's wrong or their religion is true religion, then, you know, that's where I kind of shut you out. That's where I kind of turn things off. But, you know, this is a big but, all right? Not my but. My butt's not a big but. But, you know, when you call an 800 number and request, you know, a no obligation free miracle water, you know, I think you should be prepared for Peter Popoff. Peter Popoff. That would be a good name for a porn star, don't you think? Peter Popoff. Okay. I would expect that if you called that 800 number, this is just a theory of mine. I would expect if you called that 800 number that next thing you know, you're going to get bombarded with junk mail. There's just going to be an onslaught of junk mail, excuse me, offering you other items. You know, hey, you know, first you had miracle water, now you're going to have this. First you're going to have that. And that was my theory. So I went ahead and I did some research. Okay. And I was doing some, nothing extensive because I really don't want to add to my already pathetic existence in life as it is. But there was a gentleman who did receive a letter, in the mail with a napkin. So to be clear, this same gentleman, did get the packet of water. Now, the packet that came in the mail is totally different than what is depicted in the commercial. The one that is depicted in the commercial looks like a longer packet with like a flap where you would either you just pull the flap and that's where you would say drink, suck the water out of the packet. Almost like a very thin, narrow Capri Sun pack, with a tab on it. But the pack that he displayed was this clear, ketchup-like package with gold lettering emblazoned on the side. I think it said Miracle Water. And I was like, wow, really? But it came with a letter and you had to read the instructions and read the instructions and understand them specifically before you open the Miracle Water packet. But nothing else was mentioned after the fact. The guy never came back with another video saying that he got money. Okay. But he was just kind of going, hey, you know, this is what I did out of curiosity and I got this packet and everything. And he was explaining to it. So still not quite sure what the hell you're supposed to do with the water. Damn it. I just still don't get it. And at this point, I really don't care, but there was a follow up and so he got another letter in the mail from the prophet. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with the human of this earth calling themselves a prophet, right? I have a problem with that. But so prophet Peter Pornstar Popoff, sends him this, I think they called it, it was called a mantle, I believe. And I'm like, a mantle. It was a napkin. It was basically a napkin that you would find like in Walmart on a shelf in a package. That's what it looked like. I don't know whether it was blessed or whatever the case may be, but evidently that I want you to absorb this. It was a napkin. Let it bounce in your head for a minute. A napkin. And the purpose of this napkin is for you, per direction and guidance from the prophet Peter Popoff himself, that you are to rub it all over your body and it will provide you protection from evil and make the demons tremble before you. Now, that's not a direct quote, but that is the gist of what this napkin will do for you. I can't make this shit up. I thought it was relatively funny. And the guy in the video said, hey, I'm sorry if you saw my nipples, because he's like, okay, here we go. And he pulls off his shirt. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean for you to see my nipples. And he was an old guy, but yeah, I'm doing an old guy voice. But I just like, oh, excuse me. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I don't get it. I really, really don't get it. I don't understand it. And at this point, when it comes to something like this, I just think it's comical. But again, there are people that firmly believe in stuff like this. And okay, you know, I can't even talk anymore. I'm still thinking about this guy trying to wipe that napkin all over his body. I just exercise the demons. Anyway, I think this is a good point to end this show before I dig myself further into a hole. I'm going to hell anyway, I'm sure. So let me just say again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to both Babette and Leslie. Thank you for your kind words. And thank you for the ratings. Thank you for the emails. Folks, please keep them coming. Reach out. Let me know how the show is doing. If you have any suggestions of anything that you maybe want to get my skewed perspective on, I greatly appreciate it. You can find find me on Facebook at No Syntax. You could post something on the message board there. You can email me with comments and questions at No Syntax Podcast. No Syntax Podcast at gmail.com. So one word, no underscores, No Syntax Podcast at gmail.com. You could also find or follow me on Twitter at No Syntax Podcast. No Syntax is a production of Caffeine Driven Media. The logo design is by Caffeine Driven Media Designs. Music is by Rim Sky Music and can be found at www.premiumbeat.com. Sound editing is by Auphonic.com. That's www.auphonic.com. And today's jolt, wow, I am, today's show was fueled by Jolt Cola and can be found at www.joltcola.com. Or if you have a Dollar General or a Casey's General store in your area, you can find it there. In the Dollar General, you kind of have to look for the $1 deals. It's kind of sort of near the drink area, and sometimes it's not. You just got to search the shelves. And really, honestly, my experience in looking for Jolt Cola, when I go into a Dollar General, or Dollar Gentral, as some people say, if you ask them for Jolt Cola, they have no idea what the hell it is. So you just have to go in search of and find it yourself. But yes, so you could get it at Dollar General, Casey's General Store, if you have those in your area. You could also go on Amazon.com and order it there. However, I will warn you, it's very pricey for what you get. I think it's a 4-pack, might be a 6-pack, but it's kind of up there in price, like $12.99, I think. Don't quote me on that price, but I know it's relatively high. And it's probably even higher if I try to order it and have it shipped to Kuwait. So I usually just don't even bother with it. But my fellow caffeine addicts, Jolt Cola is back and with a vengeance. Pretty much, if you're wondering, for those of you who grew up in the 80s and understood that what Jolt Cola is or was or has now, you know, reared its head and come back to life, risen from the ashes, if you will. Again, no pun to the show. I'm sorry. So, evidently the original formula maker of Jolt Cola, was petitioned and asked by a number of fans to bring Jolt Cola back. And, it motivated him to go ahead and do so. So they're starting off small, and slowly, hopefully slowly progressing back into the energy drink, force, that's been dominated for the most part by Monster Energy and other energy drink companies. So hopefully Jolt will be able to ease back in and continue the drink that we all knew and grew up to love. I remember drinking it in high school. I remember drinking it my first few years in the Army, before they changed their formula and before they disappeared again. Yeah, it was great. But no, it's good to have them back. And just to let you know before I sign off here, next four and a half months, I'm going to be on hiatus. That hiatus equals deployment, finishing out my remaining four and a half months, tour left, in Kuwait, before I leave my position and go on to another assignment. So this will be the last episode for the time being. If I get the opportunity to try and do some shorts, I will try to do those. No promises. It just kind of depends on what's going on the next few months. The percentage of that happening is not highly likely. I probably say it's maybe a 30 to 40% chance, and 40 being generous. So anyway, Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the show. Again, if you have any questions or comments, please send me an email at nosyntax@gmail.com. And, you know, again, or leave a message on the message boards on Facebook, and I will reply as soon as I possibly can. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening, and I will see you on the other side. We'll be right back.